Yes, sir. Because Jesus rose one Sunday morning with all power in his hand, we have hope of eternal life. And personally, my hope has never been brighter, and my faith has never been stronger than it is today. So good to be back this evening. Good to see each of you here this evening. Always good to see the animated Energizer Bunny like Bonner. He really gave us a workout this evening. He gave himself a workout this evening, and we're so thankful for him and for all he does to help us improve our singing and to ever increase the repository of hymns and songs and spiritual songs from which we can draw as we endeavor to offer praises to God on a regular basis. Good to have his wife and daughter with us as well. I began a lesson this morning that I shall conclude shortly on the cost of discipleship. Anything worthwhile, of value, and of practical use costs. If you want a good marriage, it's going to cost you. If you want to be a good parent, it's going to cost you. If you want to secure a good education, it's going to cost you. If you want to be a good friend, it's going to cost you. If you want to be a good employee, it's going to cost you. Anything worthwhile, anything of value, costs. You want a pretty decent car that will get you from point A to point B and back, it's going to cost you. If you want to be a follower of Jesus, if you want to be a disciple of the Lord, it's going to cost you. Jesus said in Matthew 16:24, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I want to talk about the follow me part. We've already talked about the fact that if we're to be his disciples and if we're to pay the price of being his disciples, then we must be willing to follow Christ. And that word will or wills means to desire, to wish, to design, to purpose, to resolve, to determine. It is a deliberate willing, a deliberate choice, a determined resolve to follow Christ. Jesus says if you want to follow him, you have to deny yourself. If you want to be his disciple, you have to deny yourself. That means to say no to self, to renounce self, to refuse self, to restrain self, to disregard oneself and one's interests. That's what it means to deny self. You say no, self. Take self by the hand. Lead him to the cross. And you're going to have to kill self, crucify him. And he says a person must take up his cross. The cross, as we emphasized on this morning, is always an instrument of death, not just an object to carry. That concept is not very much in vogue today because we are used to decorative crosses that we wear around our necks and on our wrists as bracelets, and sometimes people even have them tattooed on various body parts. Taking up your cross is not saying taking up your little piece of jewelry and putting it around your neck and bearing the cross that way. No, that's not what he's talking about. The cross was always an instrument of death. The Christian is to die mentally and actively. He is to deny himself daily. He is to let the mind of Christ, the mind of humbling himself to the point of death, be in him and fill his thoughts every day. To take up the cross is to put one's will, one's desires, his wants, his ambitions to death. In their stead, we mentioned this morning, he is to follow Jesus and do his will all day long. And this is not negative, passive behavior. It takes positive, active behavior to will, to deny self, to take up one's cross, to follow Christ. A person has to act, work, get to it, be diligent, consistent, and enduring in order to die to self. In Galatians 2:20, and there are a number of other passages that I can reference, but I'm going to look specifically at this one. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Years ago, I tried to find it in this book, and some might know where it is, and some might know the name of it. Sister Bessie will remember it. It was a song that included Dead to the World, to Voices That Called Me, Dead to the Joys That Once Did Enthrall Me. Those words were included. Yet 'tis not I, Christ liveth in me. But the idea was that when one becomes a Christian, when one is crucified with Christ, he becomes dead to the world, dead to the voices that used to call him, dead to the joys that used to enthrall him. They don't have any effect on you anymore. And when I think about the concept of being dead to the world, you ever seen a little guy just asleep and just calling the hogs, laid out, dead to the world? Really, he's separated from the reality of the world, and the world has no real impact on him. He does not respond to the stimulation of the world that he is surrounded by, to the calls. His mama might even gently call him. He doesn't even pay any attention because he's asleep. Once over at Lavelle Jones's house in Mount Pleasant, Texas, Lavelle was sitting back on the couch with his feet up on the coffee table, and he was dead to the world. He was calling the HOGs, brother. And Patricia, his wife, and I decided to have a little fun with him. We put a funny little hat on his head, put something between his toes, and did some other things that were all appropriate, and we took pictures of him. He had no clue of what was going on. He had no clue of what we had done to him while he was asleep. Why? Because he was dead to the world. He did not respond. That's the way it is. We don't respond to the call of the wild, to the call of the world, to the call of the lust of the flesh, to the call of the pride of life, to the call of the lust of the eyes. We don't hear and respond to the siren call to sin because self has been crucified on the cross. Now we come to the point that we're going to focus on just for a few minutes here. If you want to pay the cost of discipleship, it is necessary, it is mandatory, it is an absolute prerequisite, it is essential that you follow Jesus. The word follow means to be a follower, companion, to be a disciple. It has the idea of seeking to be in union with and in the likeness of. It is following Christ, seeking to be just like him. You know, folks used to want to be like Mike. I want to be as much like Christ as I can. Again, this is not a passive behavior, but an active commitment and walk. It is energy and effort, action and work. It is going after Christ with zeal and energy, struggling and seeking to follow in his footsteps no matter the cost. Note that the steps of Christ led to death before they led to glory. Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame for the joy that was set before him. He did those things. And in order for us to live with him in glory, we must also bear our cross. You know, Jesus bore his cross, but he spoke of another cross that we have to bear. We have to bear our own individual cross. Following Christ takes diligence and alertness. Just to use Brother Z there as an example, on occasion I've had to try to follow him, leading me someplace I didn't know exactly how to get to. And you're talking about energy and effort and action to work. Boy, you have to really be on your toes to keep up with Brother Z. Yes, sir. You have to watch him, you know, and you have to try to keep your eyes on everything, but especially on him. And I like to follow close. I like to follow consistently. And when I'm following somebody, especially like Brother Z, and I love you very much, sir, I don't want no big truck to get between me and Brother Z. Because if a big truck gets between us, you've had it. Brother Z's not looking back to see where you are. You know, he's just going right on. He said, it's your responsibility to follow me and to keep up. And in a sense, of course, Christ knows where we are. In a sense, that's the way it is with following Jesus. You don't want nobody to come between you and the Lord. You don't want nobody to cause you to detour. You know, back in 1974, I had the privilege and the challenge of trying to lead a caravan of about 9 vehicles from out in front of the Hermitage Hotel, downtown Nashville, all the way to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And you're talking about no cell phones, no, what are those radios they used to have? No CBs. We had to try to keep up with each other the best we can. And going around 495 in Washington, D.C., that was tough, trying to keep everybody in line. Trying to keep everybody, you know, we're trying to look back to see where people are. And it was a very tough job because all of them were trying their level best to follow me and those who were in my car with me. And you had to be alert. You had to be on your toes. You had to be energetic. You had to be quick, especially when you're going to try to get on that interstate going around the city of Washington, D.C. It was real tough because if you didn't keep up, and if you didn't keep your eye on the lead car, you could fall behind and be lost. But we managed to get everybody there. Of course, we stopped off in Baltimore and let off some students at Morgan State University. We went on up to Wilmington, through Wilmington, on up to Philadelphia. And there was a young man with us who lived in Philadelphia. And so we left some students there at his house. We left some students in Baltimore, and then we came back, me and two of my buddies, we came back to Wilmington, and we made it there safely. We got everybody there, but it was not an easy job. The Lord wants every one of us to go to heaven. He wants every one of us to be saved, but we have to be alert. We have the responsibility of following him with zeal and energy, struggling and seeking to follow in his footsteps, no matter the cost. A person must follow Jesus. However, a man's tendency is to follow someone else and to give one's first allegiance to something else. Within the world, there is no shortage of things available for man to serve and to put first. Many are committed to following the trends and social norms of our society than they are to following Christ. A lot of folks are more interested in doing things that are in conformity to what society expects and what our friends and our peers expect, rather than actually endeavoring with great commitment and zeal and energy following Jesus Christ, our Lord. There are a number of things that we sometimes give greater allegiance to than we do to the Lord. Service organizations, family. Some allow mates, children, cousins, and other relatives to take precedence over their spiritual obligations to God in following Christ. Some give clothing and fashion a place of priority. Some folk are shopaholics and are constantly buying new stuff. And they focus so much on buying and buying that they forget about their obligation to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that all these things will be added to us. Some folks give their first allegiance to rest and recreation. Some folks give their allegiance to pleasures. Some folks give their allegiance to maintaining their looks, making sure that they're always looking nice. And some folks will miss Bible class to get their hair done. Some will spend more on hairdos, manicures, and pedicures than they give to the Lord. When you can go down to the dollar store, Dollar Tree, or Walmart and get you some fingernail polish and get you some that clear stuff that will help fix your nails up, and you can do your toes and your nails. I'll do your fingers for you. You're going to do your own toes. And I won't charge you a thing. Just bring the polish with you, and I'll fix you right up. Some give precedence to travel. Some folks will travel further and pay more to attend a sports event than they will to attend a gospel meeting. But if you're going to follow Christ, you have to give him a place of prominence, priority, and preeminence. You must give precedence to the demands that he makes upon our lives. That's the part of the cost of discipleship. But interestingly, and I want to refer to several scriptures and the lesson will be yours. Interestingly, in order to follow Christ, there are some things that you have to follow. In order to follow Christ, there are some other things that you must pursue with diligence. And you'll see that. Look at Romans chapter 14 and verse 19. In order to follow Christ, Paul says, let us therefore follow, notice that word follow, pursue after. Let us follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. If you're going to follow Christ, you have to follow after things which make for peace. If you're going to follow Christ, you have to seek to build folk up, not tear folks down. You have to seek to foster a spirit of peace, not to sow seeds of discord. So if you want to follow Christ, there's some other things you have to follow. 1 Thessalonians 5:15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good. If you're going to follow Christ, you must also follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11, Paul has discussed the danger of becoming too attached to money. He says in verse number 11, in contrast to what he has previously mentioned, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. There are some things you need to flee, and there are other things you need to follow if you are to follow Christ. He said, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. 2 Timothy 2:22 similarly emphasizes the importance and necessity of fleeing some things and following others. He says to the young man Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lusts, but follow. See, if you're going to follow Christ, you have to follow righteousness, faith, charity, or love, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Not only that, but Hebrews 12:14 emphasizes the same cogent truth. Follow peace with all men. Pursue peace. Go after peace with diligence with all men. Not only follow peace, but follow holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Can you see it? If you're going to follow Christ, there are other things that you must likewise follow. And Peter gives us a very excellent place to come to a conclusion as we talk about the cost of discipleship. Peter says in 1 Peter 2:21, "For even hereunto are you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps." Following Christ, the cost of discipleship. "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, follow me." Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply, "I'm on the Lord's side. Master, here am I"? If you've not begun to follow him this evening, we'd love to encourage you to begin your journey tonight. You can begin to follow him by learning of the wonderful story of love. And we've heard it many times. He died for us. He was buried, but he didn't stay dead. He arose triumphantly from the grave. He bore his cross. And now he is in glory, bearing the cross to win the crown. Jesus had to bear his cross. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone. And there's a cross for me. Just like he bore his cross, you got to bear your cross. You got to kill self. You got to deny self if you're going to follow Christ. See, I think we give the impression that, oh, it's just an easy thing. You know, it's not going to really cost you. Yeah, you can just kind of go waltzing through the pearly gates on the flowery beds of ease. It's not going to cost you anything, you know. You don't have to really make no real, authentic changes that are demanding, that are challenging. But that's not so. You know, I think we sometimes give people a false sense of security and make them think that living the Christian life is really just kind of blasé, you know, just kind of mosey along and everything will be fine. We don't make any demands of people. We don't make people accountable. Let people slide. Doesn't really make any difference how you live, you know. Just try to act right sometimes and just come to church and everything will be fine. But it costs for us to be saved. Jesus paid it all. And all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. He said, "Well, Brother Jones, you just said Jesus paid it all." Yeah, he paid it all of his part. Yes, he paid it all. But you got to pay something too. You have to identify with his suffering. You have to identify with his death. You have to give up some stuff. You have to crucify self on the cross as you identify with Christ. In responding to the wonderful story of love, believe it with all of your heart. Repent of all of your sins. Confess your faith in Christ as the Son of God. And be immersed in water for the remission of your sins. And if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be raised in the likeness of his resurrection. I believe that's around Romans chapter 6 and verse 5. By baptism, we gain entrance into Christ and we are made a part of his body. And you become a brand new creation. And you can begin to live a brand new life.
2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You can become brand new this evening. You say, Brother Jones, is it really challenging? Yes. But it's so much better than leaving self on the throne and trying to do your own thing and trying to control your own life. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burdens are light. Comparatively, living the Christian life with its challenges, it still is so far superior to living the worldly life, where you're dragged down, by sin and eventually lost. Will you be saved tonight? Maybe you're here and you've already begun to follow Christ, but maybe you have made an unfortunate exit from the path where Jesus leads. Well, you can get back on the right path. Maybe something came between you and Jesus as you were following him, and it obscured your view of him, and before you know it, you were off on the wrong road. You can get back on the right road this evening through repentance, confession, and prayer. Will you come as we together stand and sing?
Sometimes I hear you with heart's big fear.
Jesus.